Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hey everybody, this is Trevor here. Before we get started, I just want to give a huge shout out to a number of podcasts that have had me on recently, and I just want to say thank you so much to them, and thanks for reaching out to me. Or responding to me when I reached out. I really appreciate it. First of all, I want to thank History Defeats Itself. I had a blast with those guys. I think the episode comes out this Tuesday. So much fun. Loved it. I was also on Self-Esteem Party, which was really eye-opening and really uplifting and such a wonderful conversation. I did the Bedpost podcast, and we talked about our naughty bits and what I do and don't do with my naughty bits, so that was great. That comes out soon as well. Another upcoming one is Escape, Leaving Hell Behind, where we talk about deconstruction and why I deconstructed. A while ago as well, I did Finders Grievers, where I talked about, you know, death and sadness and stuff, and how I deal with death and sadness and stuff. I did the Truth Wanted podcast, and that's available on YouTube too, and you can see me get really frustrated trying to argue with somebody about morality. And also the Chad and Steve Have a Podcast. Those guys are wonderful dudes. And I may have missed some, so I apologize, but it's been great. And I really appreciate everybody for taking that time out of their schedule to, you know, have me on and talk about a little old travesty.
America needs a tidal wave of the old time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you?
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it.
Or did I?
I did not. Not today.
Not today.
Not today, Satan.
You won't get me today, the devil.
Wait, or Satan. What's Satan?
Satan.
Is that like some vegan food? Or am I thinking it's like Satan or something like that? You know what I'm talking
Satin's
about?
Satin's a fabric.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And then Satan Bruggenkate was a apologist. Oh, okay, is, cool. But is a creep. And then, oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Am I just making things up?
Santa brings presents.
That's true. It comes down the chimney, covered in soot.
Mm-hmm. Well, let us know in the comments. I know there's tempeh.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Food,
so
I know about that one.
Yeah.
And nutritional yeast.
Nooch, they call
nooch?
It.
Nooch, is that what they call
That's
it?
That's like the nickname for it. Get some nooch on that popcorn.
I don't think I've ever had it. Is it any good?
It's fine. I've only really had it in sauces and stuff. I've never like sprinkled it on like a...
No?
Oh, yeah, I guess in like a mac and cheese, like a vegan mac and cheese.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it cheesy?
No. I mean, it's fine. It was fine.
All of our vegan listeners cannot believe what you're just saying right now.
It's, you know, there's that pretty good cheese sauce you can make with potatoes that I, you know, I don't mind.
What?
Yeah, you just, like, mash up potatoes, and the way you blend it, like, it gets, like, almost creamy like a cheese sauce.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know if it's just potatoes or if there's sweet potato in there as well, because it is yellow, so... And then probably like turmeric and stuff. But anyways, we're not here to talk about vegans. We're here to talk about a cult.
Oh.
We're talking.
So we're not talking about vegans.
So we're not. I'm
just kidding. I'm kidding.
I don't know. Were they? No, I guess they weren't vegan.
Who?
This cult. You know them. You know them as Heaven's Gate.
You know them. You love them. Here they are.
Here they are. You've heard of Heaven's Gate?
I have heard of Heaven's Gate.
Okay.
That's where Saint, what's his nuts, is there, right? And he's up there checking.
Oh, Saint Peter? No, I mean the Heaven's Gate cult. But yeah, that's what he's doing. That's kind of, how did he, like, he's Jesus' number one guy, and then he gets to be a doorman for eternity?
So he was the number one dude, and he becomes the doorman?
Yeah,
that is
rude.
That's pretty bogus. What do the other saints do in heaven? Do they do anything?
I don't know. They answer prayers, right? They're swooping down and be like helping you find your car keys and stuff.
Then maybe the doorman job's not that bad.
Yeah,
if you're not having
true.
To do house calls.
That's true. Yeah.
Probably good heavenly benefits.
Work from home. A job. Yeah, why do you have to have jobs in heaven? Come on.
I don't know.
But these guys, they thought the way you get to heaven, into the heavens, was through UFOs.
Okay. Yeah, I have heard of these guys. I've heard of their UFOs.
They actually weren't called Heaven's Gate until, like, almost the very end, until the 90s. So they started in the 70s, and then it was in the 90s they changed their name to Heaven's Gate. Mm-hmm. Before that, they were HIM, H-I-M, Human Individual Metamorphosis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did they believe that you could transform into an alien to get to heaven, or?
Yeah, basically, like, first they would teach, we'll get into, like, their beliefs in depth, but, like, they believed that they were going to be picked up by a UFO, as Jesus was at the end of, after he resurrected.
Kind
of
like the leader.
Yeah.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-leader.
Yeah, exactly. It was very similar to that. But, and then near the end, it was your spirit gets, you have to.
Right.
Remove yourself from this earthly body, and then your soul goes into the UFO.
Is that kind of similar to Scientology in a way?
I think so. Well, Scientology, it's like there's a bunch of old souls that are attacking you, and you have to remove those old souls. And
so when someone says that they're an old soul, that just means they're inhabited by Scientology demons?
By an alien soul, yeah, I guess so.
Huh.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. But so this cult... should we call it a cult? Yeah,
yes.
It's a cult. it was started by two people, Marshall Herf Applewhite Jr.
That's not a real name.
That was
Junior? Junior?
And he went by Herf, I think, a lot of the time. And his dad was Marshall Herf Applewhite Sr. And then the other founder was Bonnie Nettles. So
you're making this up right now.
Nope, those are their
Marshall
names.
Marshall Herf Applewhite Jr. and Bonnie Nettles?
Yep. Herf was born in Spur, Texas in May of 1931.
It honestly just sounds like you're speaking gibberish.
Yeah.
Herf was born in Spur, Texas.
And the Swedish chef over here. he was the son of a Presbyterian pastor, minister, so he was very religious from a very young age. And he attended Corpus Christi High School, which sounds like a very Catholic name for a high school. And then Austin College.
Well, Corpus Christi is a city in Texas, is it not?
Oh, right. It is right. Yep, you're right. Don't know geography. I know science shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I only know it from watching wrestling in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
They're saying, we're coming to you live from Corpus Christi. So, something like that, you know?
Right. And, my last job helped me a little bit with my American geography because I had to talk to people all over the country. But
Yeah.
But he was really into music. And he earned a bachelor's degree in philosophy. He's really into music and wanted to have a music career. Didn't really work out for him. He was drafted into the army in 1954, he served in Austria and New Mexico as a member of the Army Signals Corps. Let us know in the comments what that is.
I just have a quick question. Yeah. When you say he was really into music, is this something that comes back later, or is this just like a random fact that's in the bio?
No, that's like that'll come back.
Okay, because it's one of those things where it's just like, he really liked music. I'm like, yeah. Most people do.
No. He was a singer and he knew a lot of instruments and things like that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. You know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. It's just like he really enjoyed to eat.
Yeah.
Breathing was fine.
Yeah, he was a huge fan of breathing. But yeah, he started, his singing career didn't take off. He tried to make it as a singer. But then he started teaching at the University of Alabama. He had been married a number of years at this point. To a woman, but he was not really attracted to women. He was attracted to men, but that was kind of frowned upon at the time. But he tried to pursue a relationship with a male student at the college, and the college found out, or the university found out, and his wife found out, so he lost his job, eventually lost his marriage. They separated right away and then eventually divorced 3 years later. Then he moved to Houston, and he became a chair of the music department in the University of St. Thomas. And it was here, was it in Houston? Yeah, it was here that he met Bonnie Nettles. Bonnie Nettles was a nurse. She had been married a long time. She was a Baptist, but she kind of moved away from religion and started getting into, like, astrology, like, really big into astrology and really big into spiritualism and contacting this dead spirits and things like that. So she would do seances, fortune tellers. She believed that a 19th century monk named Brother Francis frequently spoke to her and gave her instructions.
Big bro Frankie.
Yeah. And she also had a fortune teller tell her that she was soon to meet a mysterious man who was tall with light hair and fair complexion. And then when she met Marshall Applewhite, when she met Herf, she decided that that's who the fortune teller told her about. So I found a couple different stories about how they met. One was that it was at the hospital where she worked as a nurse, as he was visiting a sick friend. But also in a documentary I was watching, Bonnie's daughter said that he was teaching music at a theater that they that she was learning at. So I'm not quite sure.
Conflicting.
Yeah, but they met in 1972, and they were kind of immediately taken by each other's like view of the universe.
Right.
She was really into star, like, what are they called? The astrology, like, charts. Mm-hmm. And she would do those for everybody she met. And she was just blown away by his astrology chart and thought that he was, like, this incredible being.
It's amazing how something so bogus could then lead to something even more bogus.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
They're also both in, they were both into UFOs and stars, and they kind of combined all this stuff. They went on a trip and to figure out what to do together with their newfound spirituality and their newfound beliefs. And so they went on this trip and started working out their beliefs and things like that. They got one follower right away, or pretty quickly. She didn't last very long, but they stole her credit cards anyway and kept going with her credit cards.
As you do.
As you do. And they also, he stole a rental car, and that's how they were able to do this trip. He stole a rental car, so they didn't have a lot of money. So, but they got arrested, and or he got arrested and spent 6 months in jail at this point. And it was in jail that they really that he really figured out his theology. Yeah, basically, he was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, obviously, as one does.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the two of them, he said that they were the two witnesses in Revelations that were supposed to let people know about, you know, the end coming. So the end was drawing near. They were the two, or the UFO two is what they would call
them. UFO two?
Yeah. So
U2, they should have been the U2FO.
Yeah, it's true.
To be honest.
They eventually, in 1975, they're like, okay, it's time to get some followers. So they rented a speaking room, one of those like conference rooms at a hotel, and started preaching their message, and they got a following.
Wow.
People said that these people vanished, like they were taken up by a UFO, but really they just joined a cult. Mm-hmm. So like news organizations were, it was like a little bit of a mystery for a while, but it's like, oh no, they just joined a cult and moved away. So they started.
I mean, in a way that's kind of like being abducted by a UFO, right?
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, and they changed their names, and they did this a lot. They would have different names for themselves. The most common was Doe and T were their names, spelled D-O-N-T-I, kind of.
Like Do-Re-Mi kind of thing?
Exactly, because they kept that music. They were really into keeping that music as part of who they were, and like music was like a communication thing.
So everybody was called like Doe or T?
No, just the leaders, just Bonnie.
Oh, just the leaders.
Yeah,
okay.
Just Herf and Bonnie. So
that was good. That would get very confusing.
Yeah, so Applewhite was Doe, and then Bonnie was T. They would call people things like they had different names that they would... They basically renamed everybody in the group.
Right.
But sometimes they also went Doe and T, were sometimes Bo and Peep.
Okay.
Yeah. So they started growing as a group. But once they got that sort of core group that they liked, then they stopped evangelizing. They're like, okay, we found our group. So they're right. Like, okay, this is what we're going to be now. And they didn't have like a central location. They were tired of the news because, like I said, the news was really interested after that thing because they thought people vanished. You know, there was like a lot of stories going around about this strange new belief system or this new movement. So they started moving around a lot, mostly like in campgrounds. They would just live in campgrounds or rent out houses for a while and just constantly on the go. And obviously they were very controlling of members of their group.
For sure, yeah.
There was one of the mothers of somebody that was in the group started finding other family members of people in the group, and they were in communication, like just like a kind of a support group of like, how are we going to get these people out? And they got caught wind of that. So basically, they were really worried that all of a sudden, because like, you know, people were afraid of cults, and especially after like Jonestown. So I don't know actually where the timeline is in that, but after that and other cults, people are really afraid that their family's in a cult. So they would send people to kidnap family members and try to
kidnap family
members. Yeah, people would do that back in the day. Like, or I think they still do it. Like if your family member's in a cult, you just send these deprogrammers to like go in and kidnap you and try to deprogram you from that, from being in a cult, and try to like...
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that before, yeah.
Yeah, so they were afraid, oh no, they're all in communication. The mother was doing like these newsletters, so they're like, okay, we have to now let people have communication with their family.
Yeah.
They were worried. So basically everybody was able to call their family, but it was very scripted and what they were allowed to say, and very monitored of what they were allowed to say, and it was just really... to try to make sure that, and part of the deal was you can talk to your family members, just please don't send people to kidnap them. It was like the deal. But, yeah. So, you know, people would leave once in a while, but overall, like, this group had this core membership. But then in the 80s, in 1983, Bonnie or T was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Oh, okay.
First, she had to have her eye removed, and then eventually she passed away. First of all, Applewhite didn't tell her family that she was sick.
That she was sick or anything, yeah.
And she would regularly send letters back to her daughter. She just stopped sending letters to her daughter. Even before that, there was something cryptic about the last few messages where it almost seemed like she was starting to doubt whether or not, you know, they were the two as spoken in the Bible, and whether right. or not UFOs were actually going to come and take them. And then, yeah, she died. And then a few months later, the family found out after she had been cremated and stuff. So she basically died alone in the hospital, which is pretty sad.
That is sad. Sorry. I just watched an episode of Curb where Larry's mom died while he was filming a thing, but they didn't tell him until after he got back from New York. And it's just like, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, she didn't want to bother you. So he like missed the funeral and didn't even know she was in the hospital until he got back.
Jeez.
And then everyone called him a piece of garbage. Sorry. I know it's not the same, but yeah, geez, not finding out until 2 months after just because of your...
I kind of had that with my uncle where I guess I wasn't like in the realm of like the idea of like who to call, and they didn't want to post anything on Facebook. They didn't want people to find it that. They just wanted to call everybody, but they forgot to call me. My family forgot to call me. And then I found out by my whole family went up to the funeral. And they posted pictures like afterwards, like,
whoa.
It was like, oh, cool. Thanks, guys.
That's so nuts. Nobody thought to message you.
Wow.
Nobody like, even thought like at the funeral, like, where's Trevor?
No. And it was like, and I was like, you'd think that somebody would be like, oh, well, let's see if Trevor wants a ride because we're passing through. Nope.
That's so weird.
Yeah, but yeah, so the group, obviously, like, they had been taught, and I'll get into more of their beliefs, but they had been taught that when you, like, before they die, they're going to be taken up by a UFO, especially the UFO 2 are going to be taken up by a UFO, so why did she just die of brain cancer? So right. he had to quickly, Applewhite had to quickly figure out why and give a new reason why, and that's when it came into, like, you have to die in your human body in order to your soul to be taken up.
Right. So are they saying that, like you said, especially those two, was it like they were kind of guaranteed to be taken up, but everyone else was just like a maybe unless they kind of followed things, right?
Yeah, exactly. The two were guaranteed. Everybody else had to follow their instructions
right.
to the T in order to
Makes sense.
Get up there, as a good cult leader would do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they began using business name Higher Source, registered as a business. I probably had trouble registering as a religion. And they started, you know, once the 90s hit around, he started getting into web design and started making websites for, and that's when they changed to Heaven's Gate as like their branding.
I mean, it's a better name for a website than him.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, then the Hale-Bopp comet comes around, and actually, yeah, we'll get into the mass suicide in a bit, but I'll go through some of their beliefs first.
We'll get to the mass suicide in a bit. Don't worry about
we'll get
it.
Get to that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oh, yeah. In this time, too, because one of the rules as in this cult had always been abstain from sex. He saw sex, his sexual desires, as something that ruined his previous life because, you know, he tried
because
to...
Because
he was gay and that was frowned upon, and then because he tried to have an affair and it ruined his marriage and he lost his job. So he saw sex as, like, this evil thing, And so that was one of the rules, was staying away from sex. Around this time, after Bonnie passed away, he decided that they should probably get castrated. So,
oh
yeah, he didn't force the guys to get castrated, but it was like highly implied that that's something you should do. So he did it. They first tried on one of the members themselves. They tried to just do it themselves, and that didn't turn out very well. So they ended
nor would it.
No. So they took him to, you know, emergency room, and they're like, okay, you know, recalculating. And so they ended up going to Mexico City and found a doctor that was willing to do it there. So six of them, I think, got castrated, including Applewhite.
I'm gonna just say right now, if that's one of the things that you're trying to like sell your cult on, I don't think I want to join.
No, me neither. There was that other Russian cult that we talked about before on the, we might have actually talked about Applewhite on that episode too, but about the second coming of, like, people who said they were the second coming of Jesus. And that one too, they all castrated. Yeah, the men cut off their junk, and there was like 2 degrees. Either you just cut off the balls, or you cut off everything, and then the women cut off their breasts, because they were considered the, that was the fruit in the Garden of Eden, that the forbidden fruit. It was supposed to be. Yeah. But this is different. This was just sex is bad, so let's do it.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
So initially they were told that, like I said, they would be biologically and chemically transformed into extraterrestrial beings. So they would be like, they wouldn't look like humans anymore. They'd become these aliens, and then they would go up.
So then why would they need to be castrated?
Who knows? Well, so that you're right and pure before that time. You have to be pure, and you have to be, yeah. And then after Nettles died, it was that you're spiritual, that it's your soul. And they would refer to, like, the planet Earth as a garden for souls. Like, the Earth was, just here to... But then why would they want such a small group? Maybe they just wanted more room on the UFOs, but, like...
That's true. There was only limited seating.
Yeah. And this was also in the 90s. The reason they did the websites and stuff is because this is the first time they started recruiting again. So this is when they're like, okay, we need more people now. And they called it the second wave. They said they were against suicide, but that also meant that if you don't kill your earthly body at that right time, then that is suicide. So if, like, not...
Oh, come on.
Yep.
What a shitty loophole that is.
Yep.
It's only... It's suicide if you kill yourself at any other time, but if you don't kill yourself at this time, then it's suicide.
Yeah.
like, what?
Yeah, so they believe that you have to be eligible for membership to the next level, you have to shed every attachment to this planet, which meant you couldn't have any family, be associated with any of your family members, any of your friends. You can't embrace your sexuality, and you can't have jobs or any individual personality, really, or money or possessions, which obviously...
Wow. The amount of, like, just, I'm sure, truly damaged and, like, vulnerable people in this, it's just really sad.
Yeah, it is really sad. And, yeah, you're getting the most gullible people and just looking for answers and...
Oh, yeah, it's just people who are trying to find some sort of meaning, right?
Yeah, and I think they use the sex thing a lot as, like, anybody who had... Yeah, actually, all these things. Like, if you had a bad family experience, well, then it's like, well, that's because that's an earthly characteristic we have to get rid of. Or if you had a bad sexual past or whatever, then it's like, that's another way to scoop them in and say, you know, that's because it's an evil thing. Or
right.
You lost your job, that's because jobs are bad. It's just all recruitment stuff.
I mean, that's true. Jobs are bad, so...
That's true. I agree. Yeah. the next level they were going up to was the evolutionary level above human, or Tela, was what they called it. And it's a physical and a corporeal place in another world in our universe. And, of course, you get there through UFOs. Mm-hmm. Hale-Bopp comet comes around. It's the first time we're able... it comes near Earth in 2,000 years. So... you tie that with, okay, Hale-Bopp's coming 2,000 years. What was 2,000 years ago? Jesus Christ. So that's that's the UFO that took up the first time. Now Jesus is here again. And so we're going to go up in this UFO.
I mean, it is really funny to think about Jesus rising up to heaven on a UFO.
It is. Yeah. Like, he was beamed up before. It wasn't, he didn't like float up, because they said the cloud that Jesus went up to was actually the UFO, and they just didn't have a word for it then.
Beam me up, Gleep Glorp.
And go into Jesus. All nations and beam me up, Bleep Glorp. Yeah, so between March 19th and March 20th then of 1997 is when they all wore the same things. They wore these Nike tennis shoes. They're called the Descent or something? What are they called? Nobody's really sure why they wore this specific brand of Nike, but they all wore the same sneakers. They all wore the same clothing. They did it in three sections, so three groups of people. So the first group would take their own lives by taking poison, and then they would also wrap a plastic bag around their head and tape that up so that if the poison didn't take, the asphyxiate. Yeah.
Yeah, they would asphyxiate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were called Nike Decades athletic shoes, which go for quite a lot now because of this. Yeah, so they did that, and what were the numbers? It was like in specific numbers of people dying at a time, because they thought that that would signal the UFO that they're ready. And they also had $5 worth of quarters in their pocket. They each had $5 worth of quarters in their pocket. So
$5 worth of quarters?
Yeah. Yeah, so, they took the poison in applesauce or pudding and then washed it down with vodka and then put the plastic bag around their heads. So, yeah, they wore black shirts, sweatpants, and, yeah.
Like, why would they wash it down with vodka?
Yeah, I don't know. Just to get it. Yeah, maybe just to numb it. Maybe they just drink a lot of vodka and, yeah.
Maybe. It seems weird, though, like, you know, you're against everything else and then, like, sex and, you know, talking to your family, but alcohol is the one that they're okay with.
Yeah, exactly. They also had all had the same haircut. Like, and this is throughout the whole thing. They all had. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Wearing having a uniform and like a set thing. That's all part of dehumanizing people, so that there's no identity and you're just part of the group, right?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
That all tracks. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. But, and there was 39 people in total that died. 21 women, 18 men, between the ages of 26 and 72. They weren't discovered for a few days until one of the former members, D'Angelo, found them and called it in. He later said that he left the cult not too long before this happened, just because he was questioning things and he wasn't sure if he was ready to give up this mortal life. And then when he went back, he thought that this was all part of the plan, that he was supposed to leave for a while so that he could be the one to carry on the message. So now he's like all in, and he still says that Applewhite was the Jesus Christ come back to earth, was the second coming.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's some rough like coping mechanisms there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. Like, yeah, once you buy into that stuff, it can just be so hard to walk away. And
yeah, no, of course. I mean, that's the problem with any kind of ideology like that, something that becomes such a large part of your identity in your life.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of step away or to like truly get rid of a lot of the influence, which I don't think you ever really can. Fully.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even after Jonestown, like the survivors, like the people who were in town that day or whatever, they were like, I don't know how that happened, but like, I still agreed with everything else they did. I just, that last part, I don't like. Yeah. It's like they really thought they were doing something good.
And, yeah.
Even though they were basically, you know, in forced labor for the last couple months of their lives. But so D'Angelo called in. At first, he called in anonymously and then eventually said who he was and just let the sheriff's department know about. And this happened in California, by the way. And so they went in, and by that time it had already been a few days and was smelling really bad. And and of course it went all over the news. Oh yeah, it was Rancho Santa Fe was the town where it happened. Yeah. And then also other former members were like, oh shit, I missed it, and they committed suicide as well.
Oh jeez.
Yeah.
So, Why would you do that?
I don't know. There was...
Oh, shit, I missed it?
Yeah, basically. Like, a 58-year-old man, about a week later, committed suicide to try to catch the ship or whatever. And then Yeah, there's other copycat people as well. One of the actual like people in the 39 originals was, you know, Uhura from Star Trek. It was her brother, was one of the guys, like the original Uhura. Nichelle Nichols, her brother Thomas was one of the people. But yeah, but he so Doe or Applewhite put, you know, made a final video, his farewell video, put it on the website and everything. The website's still available. I don't know if somebody's
really
it's still up. Yeah, I don't know if any like current members or anything like that are keeping it running. It still looks very 90s and stuff, so, but it's still up. And it's kind of like that Space Jam website, but sadder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so basically there's not really any members anymore besides the there's a couple people who still believe it, but there's not it's not a group anymore.
No.
But yeah, so that's kind of the quick rundown of Heaven's Gates. Any thoughts?
Geez, I don't know, man. Something that could have been like a fun cult ends up just being a death cult is always a sad thing.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, and I think really the power went to his head after Bonnie died when it was just him. Because before that, they were like co-leaders. And then after that, it was like he's Jesus incarnate and he's like, he makes all the rules. And then he brings in new people. And yeah, it's just.
I mean, it feels a lot like he's just trying to deal with this shit and he's just getting further and further into it. And he's deluded himself into these things, right?
Yeah.
Like, clearly he was already a fragile kind of individual before this thing started, but then after his, like, you know, partner in it died, it kind of, I think, seems like it really pushed him over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at that point, it was like the tipping point. Like, if he doesn't change everything, then he's going to lose the power. So he had to really quickly figure something out, and they did lose some people, so that's why they brought in the second wave of, okay, let's get these cult. Let's get these people going. And
well, for sure. He was already someone who essentially lost his life, right?
Yeah,
for a while.
Exactly.
So, you know, to lose it all over again, right? I mean, it's such not an admitted defeat, but, you know, it's such a loss of power. So it seemed like he did everything he could to kind of hold on to that.
Yeah. Like the one guy, I was watching some interviews with former members, and the one guy was like, it was the castration thing that he was like, oh, shit. I know.
Yeah. That's a wild thing. Like, yeah. I mean, I can see it, like, you know, you're going to like a fun commune, everyone works together and you're all doing this stuff, you know, for like the greater good.
Yeah.
And then they start talking about, all right, guys, we're going to chop your nuts off. It's like, wait a minute. What?
What?
I came here for some clean living and some praising the Lord. Yeah. What the hell?
What the fuck? Yeah. So, I mean, I probably would have been out a lot earlier than that, but who knows? I have been in a cult before, basically. So,
I mean, I don't think I would have been in to begin with. So, I mean, that's just me. I'm
true. It'd be harder for somebody to get me to join a cult at this point. I like to think.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Maybe if it's like a Doctor Who cult. This is basically a Star Trek cult. So, I don't know.
True.
But
yeah, and then they force all you guys to stuff into the remaining phone booths or whatever in the UK.
Yeah.
Like a weird clown car, and then y'all suffocate.
It's true. That's how it...
Or I guess it'd be like one of those competition shows where they try and set a world record for how many people can fit.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, we tried that with an elevator once. That was a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be.
And we were stuck in there for, what, an hour and a half? Maybe hour and a half was when I was stuck in an elevator by myself. This one was 45 minutes, but it was still the worst.
Why would you do that?
We just thought it'd be funny.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And,
no, not funny at all.
Yeah. Well, one person was claustrophobic, so I wasn't allowed to make jokes. Every time I would like try to say something, be like, shut up. I'm like,
why would they be there then?
No.
Like, if you're claustrophobic and you know it, you're like, hey, guys, let's all cram in this elevator.
Yeah.
The last thing I'm going to do is be like, okay.
Good call. And, like, why did... Like, we know that there's weight limits on elevators. But, should we thank some patrons?
Yeah, let's say thank you.
Oh my God, wow, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to our Bible study.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Another week where we come and look deeper at the Bible, and we really study what it has to teach us, right? And that's why they call it a Bible study.
Exactly.
Right? That's my understanding of it.
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're studying mm-hmm. how big the Bible is.
It is a big book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Depending which version you get, that weight can differ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it just a New Testament?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be smaller. Is it New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs? It's
going to
be a little bigger.
I kind of thought that a truly amazing thing that the Lord could have done for us was make every Bible weigh exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened yet, but it's a wish of mine that I hope one day that prayer is answered.
Amen. And I hope it becomes a unit of measurement.
Yeah, the Bible as a unit of measurement from which we base all our lives.
Yes, amen. And I do base my life on the Bible.
Yeah, amen, B-men, C-men, it doesn't matter.
Especially the C-men.
Just put it all over us.
Yeah, cover it with your men. And speaking of people who seek after righteousness, do you want to thank our amazing people today?
Yeah, today we want to thank Keely and Johnny and David. And we want to thank Alina. And last but not least, manual operator. So thank you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we don't have any specific prayer requests, but maybe just a general prayer request for all our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
All our listeners have been going out into the street or onto their balcony every night at 12:03 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And shouting the Believe It or Not podcast, the Believe It or Not podcast,
yep,
four times, and then returning to their beds.
Yeah.
And we don't know why this is happening, so we just we want to lift them up in prayer.
And we want to ask that it's actually, you should say it five times, not four times.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, because we will appear if you do it five times.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, at 12:03 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, if you're taking your time with it, maybe 12:04.
Yeah, exactly. You want to say it right.
Yeah. And then, you know, by the time the summoning happens and we get there, you know, we got a lot of houses to visit. So.
Yeah, just make sure you have some coffee ready. Mm.
Just be patient. That's all. All right? But amen.
Should we do a Christian rock lyric?
Let's do it.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
No, obviously Applewhite and the gang went up in a UFO.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, let's do that kind of theme. What's a UFO-themed Christian song? And there's a few.
Do they have those?
Yeah, there's a few of them out there. But the best was probably Newsboys from their album Take Me to Your Leader. And the song is called Take Me to Your Leader. It's the same song, that breakfast song that we've done before is on.
Right.
I think episode one we did that song. This is, yeah, Take Me to Your Leader, and here we go. Isabel is a belly dancer with a kleptomaniac's restraint. Tried stealing Helena's handbasket, made a fast getaway. But McQueen, she ain't. At the courtroom, Joshua judges her ruthlessly. That's a play on Joshua Judges Ruth, or books in the Bible. In the big house, Isabel is telling all to the chaplain who's become her friend. She says, I don't know why you care. I don't know what's up there. I don't know where or how. Just take me to your leader now. Take me to your leader now. Justin's a Justin to the odor from Theodore's evergreen incense.
This song sucks.
But aromatherapy don't make him any younger. But
that's right.
Oliver's
but,
all...
but aroma.
But Oliver's all liver supplements. Anyways.
This song is terrible.
Yeah. Isn't it insane?
It's so bad. What does this have to do with aliens?
Take me to your leader. And they modeled their whole tour after... like UFOs and stuff, and their album cover was like,
why?
UFO.
This has nothing to do with the aliens.
No, it doesn't.
I'm so mad at the Newsboys. That's what they're called.
The Newsboys, yeah.
Yeah, listen, Newsboys, if you're listening, you guys suck. This is a terrible song. It's a terrible UFO song.
Yeah.
I challenge you to write a good UFO song.
It's true.
About actual aliens.
There was also Larry Norman did a song called UFO, which was on in the shortlist, and Skillet did a song called Alien Nation or something like that. Alien Youth is what they were called, and it was about how the youth are gonna stand up to bad non-Christian things. I don't know.
Right. I don't think they are, though. Aren't most of the youth not following the church?
Yeah, no, everybody's walking away.
Yeah, so your song is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, you're wrong, Skillet. So look forward to that one in the future.
Get rid of Skillet.
Yep. All right, everybody. It's been wonderful. You've been wonderful.
You have been wonderful. Thank you for listening. We're glad that we could enter your ear holes.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we've said it before, and we'll say it again. Don't join a cult.
Mm-hmm. Please don't.
Don't listen to the Newsboys.
No. I mean, if you want, I guess, but that song wasn't very good.
It's pretty catchy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe if I heard it in context, I'll enjoy it. But just hearing the lyrics,
it's bad. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But it's nostalgic for me, I think, is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm judging a lot of these songs solely based on the lyrics, and that might be a little unfair, but they're pretty bad lyrics.
That one was pretty bad lyrics. But we love you all, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
Praise be.
Praise be. Amen.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.